Sir Arthur Conan Doyle published a story in 1887 featuring a detective that would woo the imagination of readers centuries later. Sherlock Holmes originally lived in the pages of 4 novels and 56 short stories, but his adventures expanded well beyond the original author's expectations. Holmes has been brought to life on stage and screen in movies, television series, and according to the Guinness World Records, Sherlock Holmes is the most portrayed movie character with more than 200 films featuring the brilliant detective and his forensic science. Science fiction author Stephanie Osborne has published a series of books that bring Sherlock Holmes off the pages and into a modern society through the efforts of a blonde-haired scientist. I spoke with Osborne to discuss her series of books, The Displaced Detective. Science fiction and mystery books merge easily on paper, especially when the science of the books is penned by a veteran of over 20 years in the space program. Astronaut trainer and scientist Stephanie Osborne has an impressive list of credentials.
I have degrees in astronomy, physics, chemistry, and math. I have an undergraduate minor in geology. I have, I guess, what would be called the equivalent of a graduate minor in geology and physics. I'm a National Weather Service certified storm spotter. I'm an ACE certified personal trainer. I am a licensed minister. And I have been a reserve police officer, specifically a technical officer, which is one step removed from investigator.
The main characters in her series, The Case of the Displaced Detective, include Sherlock Holmes and the female scientist that brings him from a parallel world into our own reality. In some ways, Skye Chadwick resembles the author, but it's also easy to see Osborne is a serious fan of Sherlock Holmes.
I wanted a character that would be a good match for Sherlock Holmes. That was the whole point. I wanted a female equivalent to see how he would react. Conan Doyle wrote him. I tried to stay true to the character within the confines of stretching his abilities and his horizons. But usually whenever I write a character, there is some facet based on me, because that, to me, is the fundamental starting point. I look for some little quirk in my personality, some facet, and that becomes the foundation for the character. Even the bad guys. I look for that part of me that I don't like, that fits that character, and that becomes the foundation for that character. And then I can layer over top of that, and I can create, and I can enlarge, and I can add to.
Now that Sherlock Holmes is removed from his Victorian world, he adjusts to the modern world fairly quickly. But he does something you did not see in the Doyle writings. Sherlock Holmes falls in love.
Some Sherlock Holmes fans look at my books and go, that's not Holmes. I said, well, if you put him in this situation, it very well might be. I have always thought that Holmes was a sexy character. And I think the BBC series Sherlock is starting to bring that forward in the consciousness of the fans, is the realization that Holmes can be very sexy. He has what I always referred to as the Spock syndrome. You know, from Star Trek, Spock was always really, really sexy, but because he never let anybody in, it just made it that much more sexy, you know? And so Holmes is like that. I've always viewed him like that. And I thought, well, what's going to happen when he does encounter somebody that is his intellectual equal of the opposite sex? Irene Adler was always the woman because she was the only female to ever be able to best him. But what happens when you've got somebody that is not only his equal, but is on his side?
The first three books in the series, The Arrival, At Speed, and The Rendlesham Incident, are available. The fourth book, Endings and Beginnings, is available on Nook and Kindle and should be out in paperback just in time for holiday shopping.
Particularly in the first few books, there's a lot of emphasis on parallelism as a theme. You have Holmes's original universe, our universe. You have Moriarty there, you have a Moriarty here. Holmes debates sometimes about whether or not Skye might be his equivalent in that universe. And then in the third book, by bringing in this other group, this other reality, you have yet another example of parallelism almost. It's close, but it's not quite. And it's actually a good thing that it's not quite, because if it were exact, then the two realities would collapse in on each other, and that would be a disaster.
first and second book of the series are paired. It's like the first book ends on a cliffhanger, so you have to buy the second book. Then when you go into the third book of the series, it ends on a cliffhanger, so you have to buy the fourth book just to finish off that story. Are all the books in the series planned to be written in pairs?
No. The first two stories came out like that. The first story was a plot bunny that bit me in the behind and wouldn't let go. A normal sized mystery or science fiction book would be about 100,000 words. The first draft of this story came in at 215,000 words in 2 months. It was kind of like one person trying to handle a wide open fire hose. It just came pouring out. And then you go back through, of course, and you edit for clarity and consistency and stuff. And so that expanded it another couple thousand words. My literary agent looked at it and she said, there's nothing we can cut out of here, because if we do, we're cutting essential material. It's essential to either character development or to the progress of the mystery. And when my publisher bought it, she said the same thing, and the editor looked at it and she said the same thing. And, you know, so it was one of those things where there wasn't any cutting it down. But because most publishers don't like to publish a book that big unless you have a name that is a household name, we broke it into two volumes. It really, if you think about it, it's two stories in one. It's an origin story combined with a mystery. The second pair of books is also a double story, because you've got that alternate universe, and then you've got the UFO mystery, and the two intertwine. So it became necessary to simply do both of those in two volumes. I have at least three more books already in various stages of being written. Book 5 is about halfway written. Book 6, I haven't actually started putting on paper yet, but it's all in my head. Book 7 is completely written, and I've got ideas for 8, 9, and maybe 10. But each one of those will be single-volume stories.
Follow the links on the Around and About blog at WUTC.org to learn more about these and other books written by Stephanie Osborne. For WUTC's Around and About, this is Rabbit.